Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Today, I decided I just kind of want to share with you a topic that I think we always need to be reminded about, a very important topic, it's one, let's be honest, if I asked how many people in the room here sometimes struggle with prayer, what would the response be? Are we head nods, or are we like, no, we got this. Yeah, well, most of us do. I mean, there's that always that awkward time when you're, you know, in a group prayer. Have you ever been in that group prayer time where you're holding hands and squeeze the hand of the person next to you when you're done, and it's like, it goes all the way around. It's prayer can sometimes be awkward. Let's begin looking at the Gospel of Mark chapter 11, verse 15 through 17. This is going to be our text where we're going to launch our conversation here today. It says, and they came to Jerusalem, this is Jesus and the disciples, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. Verse 17, and he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written? Let's all read this underlined part here. Ready? My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you've made it a den of robbers. So Jesus, you know, this is a very intense moment in Jesus' ministry. I mean, as much as we like the peaceable nativity scene Jesus and, you know, the Ricky Bobby, you know, 3-pound baby on stage. You know, we like a little understandable, controllable, not controversial Jesus. This is anything but. Jesus comes into the temple and he makes a scene. He makes an intense scene. If we read from other gospel accounts, you know, made a whip of cords and drove out the money changers. I mean, it's almost a quasi-violent act. You know, Jesus is so intense on something. And then he tells them why. He said, look, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. So there was a lot going on in the temple, but not much prayer. I think it's important that as we, you know, are still in the beginning stages of another year of trying to share Christ's message of love and hope, of trying to take the gospel to the community which God has called us to serve, I think it's an effective thing for us to ask ourselves. We have a lot going on, but is there much prayer? In our own lives, as we sometimes last week, we talked about how important it is that our service for God does not replace our relationship with God. And one way that we can really have a litmus test is our prayer life, of what's going on. Now, please, at the very beginning, I want you to understand that this is in no way, shape, or form meant to be a condemnational message as much as an invitational message to step out and to understand that prayer is an amazing gift that God has prepared for us. Ephesians chapter 6:18, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints of Ephesus, talks to them and gives us some amazing things. He says in verse 18 of chapter 6 that we are to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Prayer is such a foundational and critical element of the church. And I get some folks say, well, you know, prayer is also deeply personal. Yes, prayer is deeply personal, but prayer is also a corporate thing. There is power when we come together in prayer, and prayer is something we need to be doing more of. It's something that we should be inviting, not just in our personal lives, but in family groups and in small groups and in times that we come together, there's something wonderful. In the Old Testament, we see this formula where one can put 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000. That math is different than our math. We think, you know, 1 puts 1,000, well, 2 would be 2,000. But there's a multiplier effect when we come together. There's something wonderful. That's why it's good and it's pleasant when brothers dwell together in unity. So we have to understand, how many of you have ever gotten anxious about prayer? Perhaps you're in a group of prayer and they're like, so everyone will have a chance to pray, and you get nervous. And the question is, why? It's because, what if I say something and everyone else, you know, makes me feel uncomfortable? If I say something silly or stupid and people focus on all the people around, who do we talk to in prayer, gang? And we forget about that key fundamental issue. Prayer is talking to God, talking with God. Now, I said that, and I want to make sure you understand. Many of us think of prayer as talking to or talking at God. And what I want to give to you in our message today is prayer is talking with God. Prayer is talking with God. So as we kind of come into this area, I admit that there are times in my life that I've struggled with prayer, and I bet many of you in the room have as well. And if we would get real and honest today, I just want to share just a simple, a very, very, very simple tool for you if you are kind of stuck in prayer, if you kind of need to get out of a rut, or if you need to maybe get started. Maybe it's something that just feels so foreign to you. Maybe your prayer is simply reciting the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you're still at the, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul will keep. You know, maybe, I don't know where you are, but I know that wherever you are in prayer, God wants to draw us continually deeper. So prayer is as unique as each one of us is unique. And so that's one thing that we understand. There's people read books about prayer and they try to emulate perhaps what the author wrote. But every one of us is different. Look around the room today. You see, everyone is different. And so everyone's prayer life is different. Okay? And one of the questions I get most frequently is how do we pray? How do we do this? What actually is prayer? Look, my relationship, I've got three children that are my children. I got a whole bunch of kids around that I consider my kiddos, and my relationship with every single one of them is unique. I do not talk to my oldest son the way I talk to either of my daughters, and it's not just because of their gender. It's because of our relationship. Of my two daughters, they're all very, very unique because each one of them is unique and our relationship is unique. And it's a little awkward. Have you ever had a time where you called or you perhaps got a phone call and you began to talk thinking it was some person and it realized? I just had that happen last week. I had that. The person's actually in the room here. And someone called and thought I was one person and I was somebody else. And it became evident midway through the phone call that, and I finally had to say, look, I got to take a time out. What are you talking about? It's like, well, isn't it? Oh, wait. Oh, it's you. I was like, yeah. Now, it was a wonderful and great conversation because that would have been really awkward if it wasn't. But that happens. And so we have to understand the players involved. Okay, it is a relational communication. And why is it so awkward? Why is it so difficult? And here's a couple reasons that I believe it's so awkward and difficult is because not only is prayer unique, but prayer is powerful. And mark my words, Satan doesn't want us to realize or to unlock the full potential that we have in conversing with the Father. He wants to distract us. He wants to stop us with effective prayer with the Father. He doesn't want us to have that communion, that fellowship. Prayer is powerful. The other thing that I want us to know is prayer is revealing. In other words, prayer will tell us, if you think about your prayer, this is why a great tool is to write your prayers down for a while, make it kind of as a letter or a journal. If you listen or if you really tune in to how you talk to God, it will tell you what you think about Him. It will reveal what your theology is, how you view God. You know, if you watch how children talk to their parents, it tells you a whole lot about the relationship now, doesn't it? You know, parent, you've heard me say all the time, how many parents sometimes feel like an ATM? Yeah, they want what you got, but and what you want is relationship. You know, you want to pour in. And so it's just like God is a loving Father. Prayer is revealing, and this is an area that will shine a light on our level of dedication and our level of desire. Let's not be like that ungracious child who just says, oh, give me, and I really don't want to understand who you are and what you are and understand about what it means to be part of your family. Prayer is deeply personal. Prayer is revealing. Listening to our prayer, again, it's a window into our personal theology. So prayer is also a way that, look at Psalm 95, 7 and 8, okay? For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you what? Hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. How do we hear God's voice? Obviously, there's a relationship between God's word and prayer. In fact, I've shared this example before, but a powerful thing, sometimes I'll read a book and it'll be just gripping. And I went to a conference and I had read a book, and all of a sudden the author of that book was there. And I couldn't wait till they had Q&A, because then I got to go and I got to talk with the author about their book. And I want you to know how amazing it was to get deeper insight into what did you mean when you wrote blah, 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 blah. What if I told you could talk with the author? Well, how would we do that? Prayer. It is a deeply relational understanding. The Good Shepherd wants to talk to you. In fact, John chapter 10, verse 3 through 4, Jesus is actually disclosing some things, and Jesus says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, we learn God's voice. We learn how to recognize and understand and discern God's voice through his word. And we also apply that through our prayer, through our relationship. God talks to us through prayer. He leads us by his spirit that we understand and we know through his word and through prayer. Going on to John 10, 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, a couple things we know about God is God is omniscient, which means God knows everything. So why would a God who knows everything want us to talk to him about what's going on in our lives? It's not that he's ignorant. There's nothing you can tell God that he doesn't already know. So why does he want us to go to him? Because prayer is not about information. It's about relationship. He wants us to have that fellowship. And there is a connection between prayer and between God's word. Remember, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So today, again, real quickly, just a little acrostic for you. I want to use the word pray. P-R-A-Y. And if we look at Jesus as he taught individuals to pray, there are four aspects of prayer that we should have. If you're kind of stuck, and if your prayer life is simply a laundry list, is simply a shopping list, excuse me. If your prayer life is just a shopping list, I want to encourage you maybe to make sure that you're adding these areas into prayer. They may help you drive. The first one is this. The P in pray, the word that we're using here today, stands for praise. Praise. Psalm 104 says, enter his gates with what, church family? And it goes on to say, and his courts with what? It says, give thanks to him and bless his name. Okay? Praise God. Praise God. Why? Why do we? Does anybody in the room have anything that they feel that God has done for them? This is a question. So, well, come on, fire back. Tell me, what's he done? Tell me a Jesus story. Healed you from cancer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Took care of Eddie a couple weeks ago. Watched out for him when Eddie fell and broke his hip. He's on the road to recovery. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. He's been faithful and he's being faithful and you're on a road. Praise the Lord. Anybody thankful for that? Come on, what else? What else? I'm sorry, what? Jeff is a miracle. Praise God. Yeah. And come on, keep it coming. Yeah, Ruth. Yeah. How many of you believe God still has a purpose for Ruth Ann's life? Yeah. I do. I do. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Myrtle brought us through heart attack. Thank you, Jesus. So these are things he's done. Anybody else? Yeah, Mary. Oh, you're jumping ahead to my message later. Yeah, it's in the notes. No, it's not, because you don't have the notes. I got the only copy, and I just wrote it an hour ago, so get off there. So, this is fresh off the press. Yeah, Steve. Yeah. Neck and shoulder. Neck and shoulder surgery, God saw Steve through. Praise God for that. There's something else over here. Rexy. Come on here. Come on here. Give that. Come on. I'm not going to call you sexy Rexy. You said that, but that's not going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Addictions. Goodness gracious. Understanding of things. Look, God helps me not lose my mind with y'all. Okay? Oh, you think you're laughing. Do what? And vice versa. Look, you're first on the list. So anyway, no, it's a wonderful thing. God, I here's where I am so thankful to God. And I've told you this before, and it gets me every time, is such an imperfect, unworthy person, and yet God offers redemption and relationship. I mean, the kid who's picked last for the kickball team, and yet God says, I chose you. What do you do with that? You see, when we begin to focus on God, when we begin our time of prayer with just taking time to consider what He has done for us, think of what the Lord has done, it gets us in the right perspective. Because most of the time, and I'm guilty of this, we go to God with our focus on our mountain. We go to God looking at Goliath. We go to God looking at the issue, the illness, the issue, the transgression. And yet, He gives us this moment to say, focus on me. And when we think about what Christ has done for us, it gets us in this right motive. When we recall and remember how good He has been, it gets our mind in the right framework. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9 says this, for while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's important for us as we begin our journey of prayer to understand that He has built a bridge through the cross. The cross was a bridge that allows us to have fellowship with God. Without Jesus, we are separated. We are cut off. We are aliens. We are aliens and foreigners from the faith. And yet now God has created through the cross of Jesus a way for us to have fellowship with God. Now, here's where it gets good. That's just touching the surface. A lot of us are saying, when I say, what can we thank God for? We thank God for what He's done. We can thank God for who He is. The fact that His character and His nature, and He never changes and He changes and He's faithful. We can thank God for His promises that continue to endure, for His faithfulness that never ends. And so this brings us to our second point, because when we begin to focus on God, we're kind of like the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah writes that, you know, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he talks about the train of His robe filling the temple. And then he says something. Isaiah says, woe am I. I am undone. When I think about God and then I begin to think about myself, I realize the huge incongruency. I realize how fallible I am. I realize my limitations. So my R, the second word part of our word today, pray, R is for repent. And repentance, I'm going to tell you, part of the reason we're doing this series on church and culture is because repentance has been removed from Christian doctrine, from Christian orthodoxy and orthopraxy. We don't think rightly about our need to repent. And so therefore, many of us, that's never something that happens. Before we even come to the table of the Lord's Supper, the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to examine ourselves. And we forget about that. Look, we could be wonderful people, and the world around us wants to say, oh, there's really bad people, but pretty everybody's good. But we're not perfect, and we mess up, and we fall so short. And on those things, we can come to God. In fact, look what James says. James 5, 15 and 16 says, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. 1 John 1, 8 through 2:2. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. Chapter 2, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. When we think about God and we realize how far we have to go, don't brush it over. So praise God, but then be very real. And the great thing is God already knows. And remember, he's an omnipotent, omniscient God. The omniscience of God lets us know that there's nothing we have done. Throughout Scripture, we understand that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. They understand. God knows. And in spite of our knuckleheadedness, he still loves us. So he doesn't want us to get used to ignoring the issue. He wants us to come to him and experience his grace. And that's what transforms us. Church family, you don't just fix yourself. You allow the grace of God to be a continual washing. You know, you just take a shower once, you know, the old joke, oh, I take a shower once a week, whether I need it or not. No. The deal is we have a constant washing of God's word. We just continually talk to him and be God. Remember, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we need to praise God. We need to repent from our failures, from our weaknesses, from our limitations, from our iniquities, our transgressions and trespasses. And then we come to the place of A, which is ask. And that's the part, unfortunately, I would say, most Christians focus 90% of their prayer in this avenue, in this little area. Philippians chapter 4, 5 through 7 says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So supplication is not just prayer. There's two categories, prayer and supplication with, we just talked about praise, thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And what happens? This is transactional. This is transactional. Something happens when we tell God about our situations, when we communicate to our Heavenly Father what's going on in our lives and what's going on in the lives of people around us, not just ourselves, but our loved ones, our country, our nation. Goodness gracious, our country needs prayer, right? And when we do this, what happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. In other words, there's a transaction. We bring to him what's going on in our lives, and we receive and experience his peace. John 14, 13 and 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, a lot of people use this. Woohoo! Then we're back to the right name of the horse for the race. Yeah. No. If you ask in my name. In other words, when we have the relational aspect of prayer, our self-centeredness begins to go. And we're not asking things of our own desire. We're asking according to His will. Okay? And that's an important thing, an important understanding for us. Okay? Is that we understand that God wants to do and He's willing to do according to His will. Now, Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 44, Jesus is a great example of this. So I love how Jesus shows us what this looks like. And this is the end of His ministry. He says, and He withdrew from them about a stone's throw. So he took the disciples to pray. He took three to pray. And then He went away from them about a stone's throw. And He knelt down and prayed, saying, now this is the example of what it looks like. Father, if You're willing, remove this cup from me. What is Jesus asking? I want this cup removed. But more than me wanting my cup removed, I want Your will. So I'm talking to You about the cup. I'm understanding my desires. And then He says, nevertheless, let's read that end of that sentence. Ready? Not my will, but Yours be done. And there appeared to Him an angel from heaven strengthening Him, and being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Physiologically, this is an experience of intense stress where the capillaries just underneath the surface of the skin rupture. It happens in such intense stress. Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew what the price of mankind's sin was going to be laid upon His shoulder. He understood what was about to transpire. And He went to the Father. And He said, not my will, Your will. And what did happen? Verse 43, there appeared to Him an angel from heaven strengthening Him. If He's not praying, He doesn't receive that strength. And for us, I get it. There are things that we desperately want. There are things that we desperately want. But when we talk to God, we realize, like the old TV show, Father Knows Best. And so God, as much as I desperately want You to do this, I understand my will, but I want Your will to be done. And in that moment, remember, prayer is transactional. I receive strength and I receive peace. And finally, so this is the final letter in our prayer acrostic, yield. Prayer is where we wrestle our will to God. And so many people, and there have been books written over and over again that somehow, how to get what you want in prayer. And that's just so wrong. Prayer is not us convincing God to do something. Prayer is us convincing ourselves that we can trust the Father and we can yield our will to His. Now, talked about people that are like, well, what about Jesus gave this illustration to show them they should pray and they should never give up. And He says there was an unjust judge. And this this widow went to this unjust judge, and he finally said, this person's going to wear me out. And so he finally capitulated to what they want. And so people say, therefore, that's how we should hound God until He does what He wants. No, first of all, God is not the unjust judge. In fact, when Jesus begins to break that illustration down, He says, well, listen to what the unjust judge says. And then He says, and how much more will God? So He's saying, it's not that you twist God's arm to doing, it's that we understand and we can experience what God has for us. I'm going to tell you, I had a will for my life. I had a purpose and a plan for my life. And the life I'm living is nothing like the life I intended for myself. And I'm so happy for that. I am so happy that my life looks nothing like how I wanted it to look. And I want desperately my life to look like what He purposed it to be. I'm not there yet. And that's why I talk to Him. Because I still have a ways to go, and I think we all do. And that's why He has given us this gift. Little prayer equals little power. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. This is God's power. This is exousia power in the Greek. And I love Martin Luther. I'll conclude our time together with this quote. Martin Luther says this, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Oswald Chambers said, we must pray with our eyes on God, not our difficulties. And Adam Clark, the Bible scholar Adam Clark, and the Adam Clark commentary is a fantastic thing. He said, prayer requires much more of the heart.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.